You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Thursday. Morning comes and you know that you wanna stay. Mike McNamara for a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio. The Israel has just announced that they will not let what United States Congresswomen visit, according to their deputy foreign minister, in a story that's running in Reuters right now. Israel has decided to block a visit by U.S. Democratic members of Congress Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. Israeli Deputy Foreign Minister Zippy Hodolevi said on Thursday, "The decision has been made. The decision is not to allow them to enter." So there you have it. Both those members very critical of Israel, and so it goes. Speaking of the news, I saw an interview that, and I've seen this in the news headlines lately, but I didn't really. I tend to tune a lot of stuff out, and not pay attention to it, and so. I was watching the news this morning, and I saw a columnist from the New York Post. And I read the New York Post sports page. Yeah, I don't know why I read it, but I do. I read it because it comes in my news feed. And I don't know, like the New York Daily News, it doesn't come in my news feed. So my news feed discriminates, not sure why. I should probably look into that. But anyway, I don't really care that much. So, especially when I'm reading sports stuff. And they have good writers there. So anyway, I see a guy named Michael Goodwin talking. He's talking about a problem that the New York Times had that led to, I think, either the firing or demotion of somebody. And so I was, I just eaten a piece of toast with, butter and strawberry preserves. Not strawberry jam. Strawberry jam, I think, still has the carcasses of the strawberries in it. In case that you don't know this, there's a difference between strawberry jam and strawberry preserves. Strawberry jam versus preserves. Fruit preserves refer to fruit or vegetables that have been prepared, canned, and jarred for long-term storage. Jam refers to a product made from whole fruit, cut into pieces, and or crushed. Preserve contain chunks of fruit, but jams do not. Oh, so I had jam, not preserves. Jams contain fruit pulp. Yeah, my mom, Kathleen, she used to buy whatever we bought, had the carcasses in there, the strawberries. I didn't like that. They're big, chunky thing. was not a fan of it. So, anyhow, so I came in here, and as I do, Jack and Joe following shortly thereafter, they wake up for at least 15 minutes before they go bust out about another 6 hours of sleep, because that's what dogs do, evidently. So anyway, I come in here, and this guy, Michael Goodwin's up. He's talking about this headline controversy at the New York Times. So I was like, I'm sitting down, kind of getting ready for the day, and I start listening to it. And it is kind of one of the major, not a major thing, but if you ask me what was, Mac, if you could fix two things in the country, what would they be? I would tell you, I would fix the media, right? I would somehow or other hypnotize them into reporters reporting the news. Because a democracy, you know, in order to make decisions, you need news. You need news. And what is news? News is people go out and report what happened. Okay, you have columnists who write opinion pieces on the editorial page, right? So anyway, so that's how the news ought to work, but that's not how the news works anymore. And I think that's a huge problem for the country. Anyway, the New York Times, known as the Gray Lady, and, they have all these sayings about how they are the beacon of journalism. So anyway, it's interesting when the New York Times gets sideways over journalism ethics. So I hear this guy, Michael Goodwin, talking. So I kind of look him up. And so I find him in the New York Post. Headline, Rot of Journalism Ethics at New York Times Has Turned into Leftist Plague. By Michael Goodwin. We're at the very top in red. Opinion. So I wanted to share a little bit of it. And what it centers around is a headline that appeared in the New York Times. And Goodwin talks about the reaction, right, that the executive editor, the guy named Dean Baquet, B-A-Q-U-E-T, right, and that's how I pronounce it like that for all my friends from South Sacramento that are listening that normally don't speak English that well, right? And let me tell you, and there's no reason for them not to. Born and raised here, but some of them have issues, so. And I know they listen, and you know who I'm talking to. Okay, so here's the story. There's not a single journalist, dead or alive, who hasn't missed a story, made a mistake, or mangled a quote. It comes with the territory of writing. History's first draft on deadline with the consolation that there's a new story and a chance tomorrow. But a certain editor at the New York Times cannot be consoled. His flub was no ordinary one, for he was insufficiently hostile to the President of the United States. When Donald Trump is the president, that is not a mere mistake at the New York Times. It's a sin, potentially a mortal one. Quote, he's sick, he feels terrible, executive editor Dean Baquet reportedly said of the unidentified headline writer. No doubt the sinner grew even sicker during the remarkable staff meeting Baquet convened on Monday of this week, which turned into a grievance and shaming session. According to the Daily Beast, and there's a link to that article, Pointer, which is another online publication, Baquet declared the headline a fucking mess in a bid to appease the many reporters and editors extremely upset about how such an awful thing could happen. The tone, now remember, this is the New York Times. This is the beacon of journalism in this country. Right? So just listen to this. The tone seems to have been that this sort of travesty must be nipped in the bud, lest it spread like poison ivy. What's next? A picture of Trump smiling? A spread on how his economic results dwarf Barack Obama's among blacks and Latinos? Not on Baquet's watch. Facts can take you to scary places, so better to make it clear that the agenda mandates Trump hate. From the first page to the last, no exceptions tolerated. As for the offending editor, he's being made an example of and taught a lesson. Perhaps he will be sent to a re-education camp, one of those places that keep you in the dark and blast rock music until you vow never again to play it straight. If this sounds a bit overwrought, consider what the incident says about the state of American journalism, and especially the state of the New York Times. The rot has turned to cancer. The first edition headline on Tuesday, August 6th, which this is all about, right, is Trump urges unity versus racism. Was entirely appropriate for the president's somber remarks after the El Paso and Dayton mass shootings. Trump denounced bigotry and white supremacy and called for new measures to keep guns out of the hands of mentally ill. But this was not enough for many left-wingers, some of them inside the Times. A Twitter storm erupted, complete with calls for subscription cancellations, and presto, the headline was rewritten in the next edition. The replacement, assailing hate but not guns, at least had the virtue of criticizing Trump on one of the paper's mission issues. The episode continues to reverberate a week later, largely because so many of the paper's readers and employees continue to complain. This strikes me as bizarre and reveals Begay created a monster when he unleashed the paper's partisans during the 2016 election. For insiders to protest the headline as being insufficiently soft on a politician, especially the president, was unthinkable at the Times that gave me my start and training. In that golden era of straight news reporting, you kept your political opinions to yourself, and if you tried to sneak them into your stories, they were eliminated by layers of copy editors. The top editor in those days, the legendary Abe Rosenthal, frequently declared that his goal was to keep the paper straight, unquote. He succeeded with an ironclad rule against having reporters' opinions in news stories. The result of that restraint was the credibility that made the Times the nation's most trusted newspaper. Subsequent editors relaxed those rules, and Begay banished them in 2016. The paper had rarely found anything amiss in the Obama presidency, and now he aimed to use its power to make Hillary Clinton the president. Trump's election infuriated the Times. The paper's coverage shows it is determined he won't get a second term. Every article is an opinion and negative. Moreover, the drama over a single headline is a reminder that the only political diversity at the paper is between the left and the far left. Joe Pompeo, a Vanity Fair, reports something I've heard too, that young reporters and editors think Begay is too much of a traditionalist and are chafing at even the minimal limitations on what they can write about Trump. They apparently want to call the president and his supporters racist virtually every day based only on their personal opinions. At the Monday meeting, Begay promised to set ground rules for when the R word could be used. It's not hard to see those young journalists, most of them white, as slightly older versions of college snowflakes who cannot bear to hear a dissenting word and demand that the world conform to their prejudices. In their identity-driven madness, standards of fairness are relics of another form of white power, all of which must strike Begay as especially strange since he is the paper's first black editor. As for readers sent over the edge by the benign headline, their sense of entitlement is breathtaking. As I wrote on Sunday, their fury illustrates what they expect the paper to give them on a daily basis, and that is a dose of Trump hate. When they don't get it, the Times becomes the target. Now that's a real fucking mess. Anyway, interesting. So the headline's not critical enough. right? Firestorm starts at the newspaper. They rewrite the headline for the next edition, right? But it's already out there for God and everybody to see. So anyhow, I thought it interesting, the daily, what would you call it, disinformation that gets fed to the public by news outlets. Email. Mac, what would be the second thing you would cure? The second thing I would cure would be the ruling that the Supreme Court made that corporations have the same standing in terms of contributing to elections that individuals do. So, how do you compete with a corporation? Yeah, so when GE or 3M or Exxon decides to exercise their political rights and dump money into an election, how do you do that? I mean, how do you compete with that? And the answer is you don't. And that's why the person that that is constantly left holding the bag in all of this is the unrepresented, although you're supposed to be represented, you know, American voter. And I talked about this years ago when the issue of Obamacare came up. So when this happens, how does it work? Somebody do the math. Okay, I'll do the math for you. So everybody hates pre-existing condition limits, right? Right, they're not, it's unfair. Okay. Well, that's one of the things that kept your premium down. But okay, I get it. So we'll now let them in the pool. Everybody with a pre-existing condition, you're not eliminated. You pay your money, you're covered. Okay, so what happens to all their medical claims? They get thrown into the pool too. Who pays for that? You do. So your premium has to go up and you don't get any more coverage. Right? Now there's another thing insurance companies do, which means when you break their cap, they can go ahead and eliminate your coverage. Right? That sucks too, right? So you paid your money. And now you need your insurance, and now you get booted because you used it too much. Well, that's how they manage your premium. So when we don't eliminate those people, and then normally the path to that is what you ultimately head to Medicaid in your state. That's how it works. You spend your own money down. It sucks, but that's the system, right? All of that gets you your monthly premium. Okay, so if we don't boot those people out and we allow, and so it's the same pool of people now, but we've let these other people in, you pay the same premium? And so if you're going to pay the same premium, are you going to get the same amount of coverage? Answer, no. No, something has to be adjusted to allow for all those extra bills that are going to come in. So your copay has to go up, right? Or your premium's going to go up and you're going to get less coverage. So just, right, follow the money, as Deep Throat said. Famous quotes in American history. Follow the money. Okay, so now that you know how the math works, right, you know, we can, now we're going to fight about it in Congress. So the American Medical Association is lobbying Congress, right? They're moderately powerful, right? You have the drug companies, they're moderately powerful. You have the healthcare industry, it's moderately powerful. You have the insurance industry, it's moderately powerful. And who represents you? Oh, that's right. Your congressman or woman who takes money from all these organizations. So who do you think wins in all that? Exactly. So what did you get? You got a mandate that fined you for not making the choice the government said you had to make, and you got left holding the bag. So in that system, right? The American taxpayer goes underrepresented. And if you apply that to elections, a corporation that is not allowed to vote in the election gets to have the same voice that you get in the election, other than the vote. To me, I don't understand. That would be the second thing I would change. So now that you're not beholden and they cannot contribute, okay, maybe that gets us truer election. And somebody will write me and say, no, Mac, all it did was gave rise to the Political Action Committee. Well, let's ban them too. You can accept money from individuals, and that's capped at $100. What? Yeah, why does it have to be a multi-billion dollar business to elect somebody in this country? Why don't we just act sane regulations so that people with good ideas can compete, and it's not just the richest people that have the biggest name recognition, because that's what our elections get us. So that would be the second one, right? So that if you had a good idea, it wouldn't matter, because all this money, your money would have to come from individual citizens that could only give you $100. And then without money, you would have to run your campaign. And your campaign hopefully would then become a function of the debates, how you articulate your stances, yada, yada, yada. Now, is that a perfect system? No. But, I mean, the system that gave us a choice between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, that system sucked. And truth be told, she rigged the whole Democratic system. Bernie Sanders should have been the guy running against Donald Trump. Yeah, how about that? They rigged the whole thing. That's largely gone undiscussed, except among, you know, the Bernie Sanders people that are still like crazy about it. And well, they should be. And I'll never forget, as she stood up there and during her nomination speech, when she accepted the nomination, it looked like somebody shoved a grapefruit right up Bernie Sanders' fat ass. He was sitting there with this look on his face. Oh, my God. And, yeah, it was awful. Absolutely awful. And so so those would be the two things I'd change. But so to me, the reason that the New York Times story is important and interesting is that it's happening in front of God and everybody. And there doesn't seem to be, you know, a big, you know, hey, that's the way journalism is today. Yeah. And I think it's absolutely horrible. So the advice that I would give you is to download the Associated Press app to your phone. Right, they do hard news. Download the Reuters app, Reuters, Reuters, and get your news from there. Local news, not much choice in that, right? You get what you get. And then I use the Google News app. I mean, it feeds me what I click on, so. I saw Halle Berry this morning in a wet T-shirt that she posted on Instagram, because Google knows what I look at, which, you know, which I'm okay with. But I think a lot of the stuff that's written out there, unless you can track down the right writers, is awful. It's nothing. It's reporters acting as columnists, and that's not what they're supposed to do. That's not the way the democracy got put together. So, anyway. So I saw that, and again, so you have one of the beacons of journalism, right, that changed the headline. And I will tell you this. The discussion among journalists, I saw one online, talked about the president's conciliatory tone was covered in the initial headline. Trump urges unity versus racism. They said that's an accurate headline. But it doesn't fit the Times agenda. It doesn't fit the New York Times agenda. And so you have arguably the greatest newspaper in the country. And you heard Michael Goodwin talking about when he went to work for the New York Times, which is where he got his start in journalism, right? And the criteria for the way news was reported. So, and how it's changed now. And so people that are news professionals look at it and said, holy shit, what have we become? We have become propagandists, and that is no bueno, my friends. That is no bueno. Tim Lynch is going to join us today. Jeff Kinney is working, and I couldn't record anything last night. So that's going to happen today. And I don't even know what we're going to talk about, so that always winds up being interesting. So good morning to you on a Thursday morning, the 15th day of August in the year of our Lord, 2019. Yeah. Catholics taught me to say that. This is dedicated to all you Boston Red Sox fans out there. Yeah, all you lowly Red Sox fans, right? You wake up this morning, do you know how many games out of first place the Red Sox are? And so this is an act of kindness ultimately on my part. So in the spirit of this kindness, let me just remind you, sorry sons of bitches, how far out of first place you are. Okay, just in case you've forgotten, do you remember the surge you were going on 2 weeks ago? Or maybe not. All right, maybe not. All right, I need a weather report from Montana, by the way. Yeah, Montana man just weighed in with "fuck you." He didn't even say, "Hey Mac, what's going on this morning?" He just like straight up, said, "Fuck you." How about that? Right? How about that? So, anyway, because he's one of the sorry son of a bitches that I'm talking about, said, oh, last year we talked baseball. This year, how much baseball do you think we're talking? Zero. Zero. Okay, so as the sun comes up, okay, this morning, the Boston Red Sox are 17 and a half games out of first place. Whoa! What the... Exact the moon, though. The little engine that could, the New York Yankees, with all their injuries, are tied for the best record in baseball in what is one of the craziest baseball seasons I've ever seen in terms of that. They've had two guys come up, a guy named Gio Urshela. He's like doing his Babe Ruth impersonation, and he's never hit above like 235 in his life. He's hitting like 330 an inning. He's hitting home runs like he's Lou Gehrig, for God's sake. Yeah, it's amazing. So anyway, but I just want to offer that little note of encouragement, dedicate this to all you Red Sox, sorry son of a bitches out there, saying maybe next year, boys and girls. We are.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore. See, young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get out. The only reason I stuck around that little paying out for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, infant soldier, infantry, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time to check the Brian Fitzgibbons weather report here. Brought to you by Brian Fitzgibbons, a friend of mine. Currently it is cloudy and 83 in Northern Virginia, the Quantico area. It is mostly cloudy and 84 further down the coast at Camp Lejeune. 29 Palms has a heat advisory. Sunny and 89 there today. Right now, foggy and 64 at Camp Pendleton. Dark, cloudy and 78 in Camp Smith, Hawaii. Dark, cloudy 83 in Okinawa, home of the 3MF. Sunny at 107 in Fallujah in Iraq. In Lashkar Gah in the Helmand province, it is clear, dark, and 91. At the home of Ballmer Radio, it is foggy and 65. Looking for a high of 81 degrees today, 80 tomorrow, and 75 on Saturday. I might be going to Sacramento on Saturday. Yeah, boom, my high school class. Don't you know? My high school class. But wait, Montana Man, he emailed me the currents. '62 and sunny in Montana. Yeah. I think it's called Big River, Montana. I don't know. I can't remember where he lived. He lives in Idaho and Montana. I think he's kind of evading the cops at some point, right? But he did send me a weather update. So, a little bit cool. Up in Montana. Because it was hot there early in the summer. It was smoking ass hot. So, Montana man, he's, you know, he fights issues all summer long with his interns. Right? And his laid-back leadership style sometimes bites him in the ass. Easygoing East Coast preppy dude doesn't always have the heavy hand to handle, you know, leadership issues with interns. So it runs amok on him at times. So he scuffles. And it's a good thing that he drinks a lot. The Big Timber, Montana is the name of the city. So anyway, that is a look at your weather. We're going to take a 2-minute break. When we come back, we'll check news headlines. Here's an email. Hey, Max, screw the New York Times and every other newspaper that can't just report the facts. What happened to the day when we used to just read the news on the front page and you could read news stories, whether they be local, national, or regional, and you could get the facts, not somebody's agenda of how they want you to vote? I'm sick of it. I don't even read newspapers anymore, and I very selectively read different writers and the news. You've turned me on to a few. I appreciate that. Anybody who follows military shit ought to check out USNI News. They do news. They don't editorialize, and they don't do clickbait. Good on them. I'm sure they forego money because of it, but you know what? If you want to see news out of the DOD, check them out. No clickbait. Hashtag no clickbait. All right, we'll take a 2-minute break. You'll get to hear Bob Nielsen, couple explosions, more of All Marine Radio coming up. On a Thursday, Tim Lynch going to join me. Yeah, Doc Lynch going to join me here in about 24 minutes. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the one and only. That's right. All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Max. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warriors Radio Network.
Into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and hope.
Made my travel arrangements to go to Colorado Springs next week. Yeah, I get to rock the Air Force Academy. And yeah, those guys, I mean, but you know what they think? They think it's funny to make Marine jokes. And see, I'm not one who makes fun of people very much until they make fun of me. And then I just let it rip on their ass. So, I don't know. So, I got an email saying, hey, Mac, we set up your lodging here at the Academy. We couldn't get you VIP quarters. But the girl in charge of lodging says, well, if he used to be in the Marine Corps, he'll love us. I said, whoa, what does that mean? Like, we're like ghetto-ass people or something like that? Aside from the fact that what she's saying is absolutely true. I remember, where was I? We were someplace, flying with my platoon or something. And we got held over. And it was on an Air Force base. And we got put, the only housing that they could put my Marines in was quote-unquote substandard housing. And, you know, Marines, it's like, okay, how bad could it be? We need a concrete floor, we'll roll out our mats, and we'll go to sleep. They came back the next day, and they're like, their substandard housing is better than our barracks. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, you joined the wrong service there, boys. But suck it up, because USMC, man, you signed the motherfucking contract. All right, we got to check the news. I don't really want to, but that's what I do right now. So anyway, so I got to. Here's another email. Mac, I am getting sick of our national media. Seriously, everybody has an opinion when they report. It's a clown show. Finding news harder than getting a camel through the eye of a needle. That's actually a biblical reference for those. For those of you pagans listening, mm-hmm. I'm like that. I will translate. Breaking news. National. What's NOAA stand for? Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration. NOAA Weather Radio. Reuters. The latest on Israel's decision to bar two U.S. Democratic congresswomen. Zippy Hatavli told Israel Radio in an interview on Thursday that Israel has decided not to allow Representatives Rashida Tlaib of Michigan and Ilhan Omar of Minnesota to visit as planned. She says Zippy says it is in keeping with a policy of denying entry to those who advocate boycotts against Israel. Her remarks came shortly after President Donald Trump tweeted that it would show great weakness if Israel allowed them in. The newly elected Muslim members of Congress are outspoken critics of Israel's treatment of the Palestinians, Tlaib's family immigrated to the United States from the West Bank. So, there you go. Film in London. That's going on. Stars and Stripes, top headlines. Tim Lynch going to join us here in a little bit. Admiral fires head of Navy Medicine Training Center in Florida. It shows the Captain Theron Tool being a picture of them being removed. An intruder shot security force member stabbed during an incident at Anderson Air Force Base on the island of Guam. That in the news. New Pentagon program empowers military spouses for family transition to civilian life. You know, that's a great headline. If you click on it, you know what you find? They're going to produce three videos. One if you're coming in, one if you're, if you've been in for 10 years, and one if you're leaving. Like, I'm moderately underwhelmed by all that, but hopefully it'll have an app, too, that can refer you to those three videos. So if you have any problems, don't worry about it. In a headline, Germany, also known as the freeloading Germany, Angela Merkel says Germany must improve its military amid spending row with the United States. You think? I mean, come on. Germany's military is a clown show. German Chancellor Angela Merkel said her country must take pains to improve its armed forces amid U.S. threats to move American bases from Germany unless Berlin boosts defense spending. Merkel played down U.S. diplomatic warnings about the possibility of relocating some roughly 35,000 troops in Germany to neighboring Poland. I think we should do it. Like, why? Because we fought a war to free them, and we stayed there and preserved their freedom, and essentially guaranteed the freedom of their nation because we would defend it? You know, let me tell you the problem in Europe. The problem in Europe is that Germany is not a solid member, right? Right? They're not even, if you look at everybody else's military, which is dwindling, they're not even there. They don't even have a military. They don't even have a military. Germany has consistently failed to not even come close to meeting the 2% target of defense spending relative to gross domestic product. Poland has offered to contribute up to $2 billion to construct a permanent U.S. base there. Germany. Yeah, freeloaders, man. At some point, right, at some point, don't you have to defend your own country? Don't you have to be able to do that? Germany's answer? No. Why? America will do it. NOAA says July was the hottest month recorded on Earth since records began in 1880. Shit. Global warming. Well, let me tell you, man, it was beautiful in Southern California. So, like, all right, whatever. Mac, I don't think it's a joke. Right, all right, whatever. Get your panties in a bunch. The U.S. Naval Institute's news page, right? This is the kind of stuff you find there. Report to Congress on Iran's internal politics and U.S. policy. See, I should read that, because I'm looking for an Iranian expert. Report to Congress on conventional prompt global strike and long-range ballistic missiles. So you'll find that report there. Navy issues a draft request for proposal, RFP known, means that we're looking for concepts for large unmanned surface vehicle. So we're gonna drive this thing without anybody in it, and we're gonna put missiles on it, and we can sail it wherever we want because we don't really care if it gets sunk. Yeah, how about that? Drone fighting. The geeks, man, you can already see them coming out of there, losing their mind. We're going to have, like, robot wars. That's right. Whoever has the better robots, they win. That's kind of lame, but that's, Navy's looking for ships. Interesting. Marine Corps Times today. Marines and sailors practice fighting at sea using an 80-year-old communication tactic. Written by Sean Snow. Despite ballyhoo about the need for military cyber electronic warfare and more technical adept forces for future war, the Navy and Marines are testing war tactics more common nearly 100 years ago. No longer can Marines and sailors take for granted uninterrupted electronic communications at sea or on the battlefield. That's true. Tech-capable forces such as Russia and China are packing capabilities that can jam U.S. systems or hone in on radio communications to find U.S. forces and ships at sea. And that's not the only problem. That technology is being exported to other adversaries around the world. That's why Marines and sailors aboard the Wasp-class ship Boxer tested in early August an old silent communication tactic used in World War II, according to a command release. The tactic is called beanbag drop. And during World War II, pilots used to drop weighted beanbags carrying messages onto the decks of ship to avoid having their messages intercepted by enemy forces. There you have it. How about that? You want a new idea? Read an old book. Yeah, General Mass said that the other day. Army veteran pleads not guilty in assault on teen who failed to remove his hat during the national anthem. That could be me. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't really like disrespect during the national anthem. Here's the story. Superior, Montana. Yeah, Montana, man, this is your state. A bunch of hippies up there. An Army veteran pleaded not guilty Wednesday to assaulting a 13-year-old boy who the suspect said refused to remove his hat during the national anthem at a rodeo in Montana. At a rodeo? I'm not really sure why you would pick a rodeo to pull that stunt. Attorney Lance Jasper told a Missoulian, as in Missoula, Montana, that defendant Kurt Brockway, who suffered a traumatic brain injury from an automobile crash when he was stationed at Fort Lewis, Washington, believed he was doing what President Donald Trump wanted him to do. Well, Donald Trump gets drug into everything. His commander-in-chief was telling people that if they kneel, they should be fired. Or if they burn a flag, they should be punished, Jasper said. He certainly didn't understand it was a crime. Jasper is seeking a mental health evaluation for Brockway, 39, of Superior, Montana. Brockway told investigators the boy cursed at him when he asked him to remove his hat at the August 3rd rodeo. Witnesses have said Brockway picked the boy up by his neck and slammed him to the ground. That's the inappropriate thing to do. The boy suffered a skull fracture. The interaction drew national attention, and Jasper said he received death threats along with Brockway and his family. Security was tight for Wednesday's hearing before District Judge John Larson, with 16 law enforcement officers present. Whoa. Brockway remains free without bond. Yeah, I think pulling punk ass stuff at rodeos, that's a roll of the dice. Now, I would never condone assaulting somebody like that because of it. maybe taken their hat off their head. That's what I thought the story was going to say. He snatched the hat from his head and got charged with assault. There's two stories. One is ex-Blackwater contractor sentenced to life in Iraq shootings. A former Blackwater security contractor was sentenced Wednesday to life in prison for his role in a 2007 shooting of unarmed civilians in Iraq that left 14 people dead. Federal Judge Royce Lamberth issued the sentence after a succession of friends and relatives requested leniency for Nicholas Slayton, who was found guilty of first-degree murder by a jury in December of 2017. First-degree murder? Wow. Prosecutors charged that Slayton, 35, was the first to fire shots in the first-degree murder, though. In the September 2007 massacre of Iraqi civilians at a crowded traffic circle in Baghdad, in all 10 men, 2 women, and 2 boys ages 9 and 11 were killed. The defense had argued that Slayton and other Blackwater contractors opened fire only after they saw what they mistakenly thought was a potential suicide car bomber moving quickly towards their convoy. Well, even if you saw that, why were you shooting civilians? Defense attorney Dane But Swinkus, I'm not kidding, described Slayton as a person of high integrity whose family members had served in the U.S. military for generations. In 2014, a jury convicted Slayton and 3 other contractors, Paul Alvin Slow, Evan Sean Liberty, and Dustin Laurent Hurd, who were part of a 4-vehicle convoy that was protecting State Department personnel in the area. An appeals court overturned the conviction, saying Slayton should have been tried separately from the other 3 men. Slayton of Sparta, Tennessee, was retried last summer, but a mistrial was declared after the jury couldn't reach a unanimous verdict. A subsequent jury convicted him of murder in December of 2018. Interesting. First-degree murder. And this story, a sign of the time, but I'm just going to warn you, if your head explodes easily, then here it comes. Missing in action. Classic Green Army men still have no women figurines, and this 6-year-old is not having it. Young Vivian Lord of Arkansas recently acquired a set of instantly recognizable plastic Green Army men figures, iconic toys the 6-year-old had been pining for weeks. Excitedly, the little girl from Little Rock sifted through the combat Green Man, each figure contorted into one of the array of well-known fighting positions, but she couldn't find what she was looking for. None of the figurines looked like her. Unsatisfied, Vivian decided to take it up directly with various toy makers. Let's write this correctly. Unsatisfied, Vivian's parents decided to take it up directly with various toy makers, penning letters to 3 different companies in an effort to add enlightenment to some antiquated business practices. After opening her parents' letter with a quick statement about her budding soccer career, Vivian gets right to the point, calling 6-year-olds can't even write, okay? So what? Vivian's parents. Well, this is handwritten. My name is Vivian. I play soccer. I'm 6 years old. I take it back. Vivian wrote this on a piece of paper, and it's very crooked, but she's 6 years old. I'll read you the letter. I play soccer. I am 6 years old. Why do, and it's funny because the D is flipped over as a B. So it's confusing, right, when you learn the alphabet. Which way does this thing go? Anyway, why boo you not make girl army men? My friend's mom is in the army too, Exclamation mark, exclamation mark. Does Vivian know what an exclamation mark is? I guess she does. So why don't you make them two? I, Sam, I saw the pink ones, but those aren't girls, and people in the army don't wear pink. Some girls don't like pink, so please, can you make army girls that look like women? I would pay with them. I would play with them every day, and my friends would too. Thank you, Vivian. Anyway, good luck to Vivian and her parents. Top five stories in Early Bird before I get Tim O'Duck Lynch on here. Yeah, you know what? I mean, I would tell you, I would be remiss if I did not say this. I think the American military is going to have a come to Jesus meeting at some point. The standards that need to be in place to fight a peer are hard, hard standards, and they're not the standards of Iraq and Afghanistan, where you had essentially a conflict based on rules of engagement, and on rare occasions you joined in close combat. Right, it was shoot at them, try to ambush them. This is the our adversaries, and then get out of there very quickly. It wasn't we're going to come put your head on a stick. Right, it was not that kind of fighting. So if you believe that combat is what happened in Iraq and Afghanistan, then clearly anybody can do it. Right, go back to the northern section of South Vietnam called I Corps. Look at the battles that Marines and the Army fought up there, and you're going to have a whole different definition of the physical requirements, and only unicorns will be able to do it. And so if we mainstream the idea that anybody can go do that, I think we do that at the peril of the nation. And so I think it's, and God bless Vivian and her letter, But the fact of the matter is only the rarest of females will be able to do that. And if in this country the average female can be involved in combat arms, God help us. Because the average male can't be involved in it. So anyway, I just felt like I should say that. And I'm not trying to shit on anybody's parade either, but it is the truth. All right, the top five stories in Early Bird. Number one, non-deployability rates drop in the Air Force without kicking anyone out. But was the threat of kicking somebody out important? The Air Force certainly got after it. She survived the Fort, number two, she survived the Fort Hood shooting. Now she's counseling Dayton's first responders. Very good. Three, Marines and sailors practice fighting at sea using an 80-year-old communication tactic. So you go completely silent and you drop beanbags with messages in on the deck of another ship, and they take it and they execute those orders. Number four, Taliban-U.S. pact in Afghanistan could boost the Islamic State. A deal between the Taliban and the United States for U.S. forces to withdraw from the longest ever war in Afghanistan could drive some diehard Talibans into the arms of the Islamic State militant group, Afghan officials said. Nice. Number five, South Korea moves to kick its missile defense shield up a notch. Whoa. What is Crazy Man in the North going to have to say about that? What is Crazy Man in the North going to have to say about that? All right. That is that's a look at the news today. We'll take a quick break. We'll get Tim Lynch on. More of All Marine Radio coming up next here on your one and only home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Tonic Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.